Masechet Yevamot, Daf Pe Aleph. We begin with the next Mishnah, which is about various cases that are difficult to define, male, female, fertile, or not. We'll see what their status is regarding eating Tidumah and allowing their wives to eat Tidumah and doing Chalitza. Then the Gemara in the Sugya will discuss a few interesting cases of nullification, bitul, when kosher and non-kosher food get mixed together. Two principles that we'll see there is, number one, if something is enumerated rather than weighed, it's more difficult to say that it will be it'll become nullified. Because if it's something that's weighed out or sold usually in a bunch, then you can say it gets mixed in. But if something is so valuable and important that you enumerate and you always sell it by the piece, then it's a lot harder to say that it can be batel. And we'll see in Por Machloket whether it matters if something is always enumerated and never sold in bunches, or if sometimes it's sold in singles and sometimes it's sold in bunches. And that's the first principle. The second principle that we'll see is that it's easier to do bitul on min she'eno mino, if something falls into something else that is of a different nature, a different taste, a different kind, because then it's totally gone. But if it's min bimino, if it falls into the same thing, then how could you say it's nullified? It's all mixed into the very same type of food. All right, those are the principles we'll see. We begin with the Mishnah. Siris Chama, Kohen, Shenasa Bat Yisrael Machila Bitruma. Siris Chama, again, someone who is born with some kind of problem and is not fertile. It's not an injury, so therefore, there's not necessarily anything physically wrong with their anatomy, they just have some disease. And therefore, that person is a Kohen, is a valid Kohen, can eat Teruma, can marry. They're not called Pesua Daka. Pesua Daka is Siris Adam, if he has an injury later on, but this person does not, and so he's a good Kohen, he can marry, and he will eat Teruma, and his wife can eat Teruma. The Gemara will ask, this is Peshita. Rabbi Yosef v'Rabbi Shimon Omerim, Androginos Kohen, Shenasa Bat Yisrael Machila Bitruma. These two Tanaim also say that Androginos, someone has both signs, is considered like a male. And therefore, not only can he eat Teruma and he can get married to a woman, not only that, also she will be able to eat Teruma. So we're considering, we're ignoring the female aspect of him and considering him a male. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum, Shenikra V'nimsa Zachar, Lo Yachalos, Mipene Shehu Keseris. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tumtum, whose privates are covered over, one cannot tell what it is. But they do some kind of surgery and they find that in fact he is a male, so he cannot do Chalitza because he's like a Siris. Even though he has a male member, nevertheless, he is not fertile. That this condition will also mean that he's not going to be able to have children. And therefore, since he cannot have children, he's outside of the realm of Yibum and Chalitza, because the whole point of Yibum is to have a child to uphold the name of the deceased. So therefore, he does not do Chalitza. There's some discussion here. If there are no other brothers, then does he do Chalitza? Or is this only if there are other brothers and he shouldn't be the one to do it, allow another brother to do it? All right. And Androginos, back to Androginos, who has both signs, he can marry, right? We just said up here, he's considered like a male, so he can marry. Avalon Nisa, he cannot, a man cannot marry him. So he's a male, he can marry a woman, and a man cannot the androgynos kiddushin, so in both ways is considered like a man. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, androgynos chayvin alav sikila ke zachar. And Rabbi Eliezer adds, androgynos also, he agrees, is considered a male, and therefore, if he would be with a man, that would be considered mishkav zachur and would be liable to sikila on that account. All right, so there we go, some different cases. We ask about the first one, Peshita. Isn't this obvious that a Siris Chama, so he's infertile, but his anatomy is okay. So, of course, he can eat Teruma and his wife can eat Teruma. I might have thought, since there's a pasuk that says yelid bayit, that only someone who can have a child can allow others to eat, but someone who does not have a child, maybe we would say, does not give others the right to eat. So the kamashmalan, no, it doesn't matter. Because he's married to her, that's sufficient, even if he cannot have children. Next, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amirim Androginos. And here we have an important machloket. Amar Reish Lakish, machilah bitruma, ve'en machilah behazeh v'ashok. When Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon here say that an androginos can marry a woman and can entitle her to eat tiruma, yes, that's true for tiruma, but in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, when there were kodashim, sacrifices, which male, kohanim can eat, and their families can eat, so that would not apply to chazev ashok, those sections of a shelamim offering, but in particular, that others in the household of a kohen usually can eat. So usually a wife of a Kohen and his children and slaves would be able to eat Chazeh Vashok, but because he's androgynous, he's not male enough to allow his wife to eat Chazeh Vashok, but only enough for Tiruma. That's a Shakish's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan omer, af machila b'chazeh vashok. Rabbi Yochanan, no, he's fully a male, everything is normal, the same as normal, and therefore, yes, he can even allow his wife to eat those sacrificial parts. Now, let's analyze this. Ula Reish Lakish, Maishana Chazeh Vashok. Or Reish Lakish, what's the difference? Why is the sacrificial parts of the Shelamim different from Teruma Deoraita? Teruma Name Deoraita. Those sacrificial parts are, there's a Deoraita prohibition against anyone else eating them. So Teruma also, there's a Deoraita prohibition against non-Kohanim eating them. So it's the same thing. Why would you make a difference? Rabbi Yochanan makes more sense. So we answer, Hachab Maizkinan, Bitzumah Bezman Hazed Rabbanan. Reish Lakish was talking about Tiruma nowadays, after Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, nowadays giving Tiruma to the Kohen is only Mid Rabbanan. And therefore, for something to Rabbanan, we have this androgynos, is safek, but you know what, Rabbanan will be Mekel. But for Chazev Ashok, that's the Oraita. We have to be machmir. Okay, so that now explains his opinion. But then we challenge Reish Lakish and say, and says, okay, so that means according to you, Tiruma, in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, his wife would not, androgynous, his wife would not allow to eat it. Well, if that's the case, then he was not very clear. Instead of saying that, androgynous wife can eat teruma, but not chazeh v'ashok, instead of making a difference between these two types of holy food, he should make the difference within teruma itself. And he should say, when does the Mishnah say that teruma, androgynous wife can eat teruma? That's only nowadays when it's Rabbanan. But in times of Beit HaMikdash, when it's Doraita, no. And then I'll know also the Chazeh Vashok, but you should make the distinction in something that's closer together so I know exactly where the line is. The way he said it, you wouldn't, why are you bringing in a different topic altogether of Chazeh Vashok when the distinction is even finer within Tiruma? And we say, you know what, actually, he would agree with that. Hachina mika amar, kishu machila machila bitruma bazman hazeh derabanan, ve'en machila bizman chazeh vashok, va'afilu bitruma derabanan, dilma tedochla bitruma deoraita. In fact, he did want to make a distinction from one type of tiruma to another. And that's actually what he meant by his words, because his opinion is that when he can eat it, meaning when he can entitle his wife to eat the androgynos, then she can eat teruma, and that would apply nowadays to teruma de rabbanan, and would not be able to eat chazeh vashok. But en machila bizman chazeh vashok. But in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, then he would not entitle to her to eat. For sure, not chazeh vashok, and even teruma de rabbanan in the times of the Mikdash, she would not be able to eat, because then she may come to eat Teruma Deoraita also. In other words, we're going to be even more machmir during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, even on Teruma Derabanan, than we are now. So in fact, the Shakish was making a distinction between one type of Teruma, one time period to another, and one type of Teruma to another. And when he said Chazev Ashok, he wasn't talking about that the fact that she cannot eat Chazev Ashok. That's true all the time, no matter what. What he meant is the time of Chazev Ashok, meaning the time when there is a Beit HaMikdash. And so his what he wanted to say is, she can eat Teruma nowadays, because it's all the Rabbanan, so there's no need to make a Gezerah. But in times of the Beit HaMikdash, when there is Chazev Ashok, and there is Teruma Deoraita, then you have to worry, if we're going to allow her to eat Teruma Derabanan, she's going to come to eat Teruma Deoraita also, because they're all going to be treated as one. And so now that explains the Shakish's language. Okay, now we're now going to analyze this machloket even further. We're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Machila B'Chazev Ashok, who says that the wife of Androgynous can even eat these Doraita things of Chazev Ashok. He's going to also say that Teruma is the Doraita even nowadays. So therefore, there's no distinction between the time period and the type of food. And he's going to challenge Resh Lakish about this. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Resh Lakish. Mi sevrat Teruma bezman hazeh drabanan. Resh Lakish, do you really think that Teruma nowadays is drabanan? Amar le'in. Resh Lakish says, yes, I do. And I have a proof for it. Shani shone igul be'igulim ole. Because I have a teaching that says that igul literally means something round. It's talking here about fig cakes. The way that they would preserve figs is to dry them out and then take off the stem and then press them into a large cake, like a big piece of cheese. And then that would stay for a while. Now, if you have an igul that is prohibited, that's not kosher, because let's say it's teruma. That's not kosher, it cannot be eaten by other people. And it gets mixed in to other igulim that are not teruma, that can be eaten by anyone. And so now it's all mixed together. Alternatively, could also be talking about a case of one fig cake that is teruma teme'a, that falls into 100 that are teruma tehora and are kosher for a kohen to eat. The law in either case is ole, meaning it's batel. That one is batel in 100, and therefore, in the first case, a non-Yisrael can eat all of them, or in the second case, a kohen can eat all of them. And so what do you see here? Why should we say it's batel? The problem here is, bitul with teruma is 1 in 100, but that's only if something that's regarding something that's not so important, that's sold in bunches or by weight. But if it's something that's enumerated, and fig cakes are enumerated, you sell them by the piece, therefore, it really should not be batel. So why does it say here that it is nullified? Must be because it is the Rabbanan. Okay, good. That's a Shakish's proof. That is the Rabbanan. Amaled, Rabbi Yochanan says back, V'halo ani shone haticha b'chatichot ole. He says, I have a different teaching. We're going to see all these teachings in a second. I have a different Tanaitic source that says, if you have hatat meat, a piece of hatat meat that falls into other pieces of meat, then that are not hatat, that anyone can eat, it gets nullified. And although only a kohen can eat the hatat meat, when it gets falls into the rest of it, then it's nullified, then anyone can eat it. And the pieces of meat are also things that are enumerated. And therefore, this is a case that's for sure a deoraita prohibition. And what we see here is that even something that's prohibited mid-deoraita, we do apply nullification, even if it's something that is enumerated. Why? Mi sevarat kol shedar kol limanot shaninu et shedar kol limanot shaninu. These two phrases look very similar, except for one word. One says kol and one says et. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I say et in this Tanaitic source, which again we're going to see in a minute. And et is a more limiting. It means something that is always enumerated, that will not be nullified, only if it's always sold by the piece, like something really important, like watches, right? You sell a watch, you don't want to sell a watch by the dozen or by weight. You sell the watches by the piece. So therefore, watches will never become nullified. But if it's something that is sometimes is sold by weight, sometimes is sold by the piece, like bananas, right? Sometimes you buy a single banana on the street, sometimes you buy a whole bunch. And so therefore, as something that is only, Rabbi Yochanan is more lenient. He says only if it's something like watches, that is not nullified. But something that is sometimes sold by piece, sometimes by weight, then that can be nullified. And therefore, that applies to these chatichot, pieces of meat, and to the fig cakes. These are things that sometimes you're buying a lot, you could do it by weight. And therefore, it can be nullified even if it is deoraita. So there, that disqualifies your proof. Resh HaKish will say, oh no, I don't think that. I disagree with the whole nullification principle. Because he says, kol shedar kol imanot, kol mean a more inclusive word. More inclusive means he's more stringent. Because he will include things like bananas, that as long as they're sometimes enumerated, they also are considered significant enough, important enough, that they will not become batel. And so if it's doraita. And so therefore he would say, no, chatichot is a problem. And you know what? This tiruma, the fig cakes, they if it was doraita, they sometimes are enumerated. And therefore, if it was doraita, they would not be nullified. From the fact that this source, I'm going to quote, says that they are batel, means that it's the rabbanan. Okay, so they're machloket about whether it's about doraita rabbanan, and whether tiruma nowadays is doraita or rabbanan, depends on how they're going. They all agree it's batel, but then the question is why? If it's because rabbanan, or because even though it's doraita, well, that itself will depend on if they have the word kol or the word et. All right, so now that we know what their argument is, let's go back to the sources that they are assuming we already know. So, Maihi, what is this halakha that we are referring to? Ditnan, Mishayulo Chavilet Tiltan Shekil Eha Kerem Yidalku. Someone who has some bundles of clover or fenugreek, this here, these beans. And they were grown in a vineyard. So that means that they are kil'ayim. They are prohibited to eat, even prohibited to get benefit from them. They have to be burnt. Good. Nit'arevu ba'achirot. But what if they get mixed up with other clovers that are kosher? So then what do you do? One opinion, Kulan Yidalku, according to Rabbi Meir, says, no, that, sorry, these are things that are significant enough that they will not be nullified. Chachamim Omerim, Ya'alu Behadu Matayim, Shehaya, Chachamim say, if as long as 1 in 200, that's the ratio you need to make Kil'ayim Batel. Different prohibitions need different ratios. This is a pretty big ratio. Okay, so that's the machloket. Now, what's the reason for it? Shayadabi Meir Omer, kol shedar kol imanot mekadesh. He says the word kol, which is more inclusive. That means even the things that are sometimes enumerated, even if not always enumerated, they are considered important, and therefore they do not become nullified. So to be, it is the more stringent position here. And so these clovers are sometimes enumerated, usually enumerated, even if not always. So that's why he is machmir. Hachamim omerim eno mekadesh ele shisha devarim bilvad. Rabbi Akiva omer shiv'a. Hachamim is, we're going to see machloket in a second within Rabbi Meir. That's where Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan stated their machloket above. This word here, we assumed it's kol, but maybe it's et. Okay, that we're going to see. Hachamim are much more lenient than either of those two versions of Rabbi Meir. Because Hachamim say, Eno mekadesh ela shisha devarim bilvad. There's only six items in the world that are important enough that they will not nullify even 1 in 1,000. Rabbi Akiva omer shiv'a. Rabbi Akiva is a tiny bit more machmir and says there's 7 items on this list. Okay, let's see the list first, and then we'll go back to the machloket. Veluhen egoze perech v'dimone badan v'chabiyot tumot v'chilfes tiradin v'kolache kerub udalat yevanit. So perech nuts, nuts from this high quality nuts from a place called Perech. These pomegranates from a place called Badan, very important pomegranates, very high quality. Sealed barrels of wine. It's very strong wine and very significant when it's in that state. Shoots of beet, cabbage stalks, and Greek gourd. And Rabbi Akiba Mosif Afki Karocha Bal Habayit, Rabbi Akiba says also loaves of bread that are baked by homemade. They are of higher quality, they're more important and more significant than the ones that you buy mass produced at a baker. Okay, some of these have to do with fruits, some have to do with vegetables. So the ones that have that, if it's orla, meaning if it's a tree, then and gets mixed up, then it never gets batel. For those things that apply to trees here, like pomegranates and things that are growing from the ground, and if they are prohibited because they're kilayim mixed with grapes. Then the entire mixture will be prohibited as kilei hakerem. Okay, so that's the end of the braita, and now we see the two readings. Rabbi Yochanan sabar et shederko limanot shaninu, Reish Lakish sabar kol shederko limanot shaninu. So within Rabbi Meir here, who said, oh, when you get this clover is mixed up, because they're kilayim, and the whole thing has to be burnt, says Rabbi Meir, and he says, because kol shedar kol lemanot, well, that's what we have here, and that's what Reish Lakish says, is kol shedar kol lemanot, and so this, he says, even though it's something that is sometimes enumerated, so still does not batel. However, Rabbi Yochanan has a different reading of that Mishnah, and he says no. He says et darko. These clovers are always enumerated, and that's why we're machmir. But if it's something that's only sometimes enumerated, then like fig cakes, then he would say it is batel. Good, so that's the source that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. Now, the second source that Rabbi Yochanan brought was Mai Chaticha, was regarding pieces of meat of a chatat. That was referring to the following beraita, Detanya, Chaticha shel chatat teme'a, shenit arba be'me'a chatichot shel chata'ot tehorot. You have one piece of a chatat that's tameh. If it's tameh, no one can eat it, not even the kohen, because it's sacrificial meat that's tameh. It got mixed up in 100 pieces of chatat that's tahor, which kohen can eat. Or another case, v'chen pirusat lechem apanim tameh, shintaba b'me'ah pirusot lechem shel lechem papanim tehorot. Ta'ale, or lechem apanim, the bread of the showbread that could be eaten by a kohen if it's tahor. If you have a piece of bread that became tameh, and so now the kohen cannot eat that one, but it got mixed up by mistake in 100 pieces that are tahor, so ta'ale, it's all nullified. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo ta'ale. Rabbi Yehuda says in both of these cases, no, it is not nullified. We're going to explain Rabbi Yehuda in a second. He says it's not related to this. He says the reason is because these are all min bimino. It's all the same type of food, and the same type of food, same taste, can never be nullified. Okay, but leave that out for a second. Now, aval chaticha shel chatat tehora, shenit areba b'me'a chatichot shel cholin tehorot, ve'chen. Perusa shel lechem apanim tehora, shintaba b'me'a perusot shel cholin tehorot, debra kol lo ta'ale. The Braita continues and says, this case is different. If you have a piece of hatat that's tehora, meaning kohanim can eat it, but not anybody else, and it got mixed up with 100 pieces of meat that's cholin, that's tahor, that's something that anyone can eat. In this case, or a piece of bread of lechem apanim tehora that kohen can eat, and it got mixed up with pedosot shecholin tehorot, which anyone can eat. Everyone agrees that even Rabbi Yehuda that we should be machmir in this case. Lo tale. Now the reason to be machmir in this case is because we don't need to rely on bitul, since after all this whole entire mixture can be eaten by kohen, so it's not going to go to waste. So this is an important principle. We only rely on bitul when we really have to and we don't want to waste. But if, for example, there's another principle, that if something will become davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that will become permitted if you just wait a while, Then you may as well wait and don't rely on bitul. And so too here is not going to have any substantial loss. I mean, you might have to sell it for a little cheaper because only it's a more limited market, only kohanim, but it's not a much of a loss. And therefore, we're not going to apply bitul in when we don't need to. In the first case, however, this is something that's not that no one can eat, that falls into food that a kohen can eat. There we do apply bitul. All right, so there you go. Now, it was brought by Rabbi Yochanan because it supports Rabbi Yochanan, right? These are items that, or even though they are deoraita, we do have bitul, even though they are not always enumerated. So doesn't this support Rabbi Yochanan that even things that are deoraita, like fig cakes that are not always enumerated, should be batel? So katani miat resha ta'ale, that's our question. You see, not from the sefa is a different story, but from the resha is a good question on resha kish. Oh, the resha was talking about a case where that meat has melted, it's been smashed. And therefore, the actual piece is no longer there. You put it into a stew for a long time, and it got all mixed into everything else. And that's why it's batel. That's why even as Shakish would agree, it's batel. But you're right. In fact, if it was whole pieces, then it would not be batel. And even though it's something that sometimes is sold by weight, sometimes enumerated, it's not batel. And that's how Resh Lakish could defend himself and explain this baraita. Okay, ihachi, last question, my tamad Rabbi Yehuda, if it's really all been smashed, it's no longer there, then what's the reasoning for the Rabbi Yehuda here, who says lo ta'ale, even in this Resha case, they're not there anymore, so it's not significant if it's not a whole piece. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda l'tamed amar min b'mino lo batir. Rabbi Yehuda in general and all the different cases of bitul says that you can only make something batel if it's two different tastes, two different food items, like milk that falls into meat. These are different foods, different tastes, and therefore, if there's so little milk that you're not going to taste it in the meat, so it's batel, and the whole thing is kosher. But if, let's say, it's non-kosher gravy that falls into kosher gravy with the same taste, well, there's no contrast, right? You can only nullify something if there's a contrast between them, and then there's so much more of one than the other that you could tell from the contrast that there's no longer, one of the elements is so little that it's gone. That you can have a sense of bitul. But if it's all the same type of thing, then the whole concept of nullification cannot possibly apply, and that's the reason for the biuda here. There'll be a little bit more discussion about this on the next staff. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen v'amen.